It's not just home improvement. It's life improvement.
No, you're not alone.
The Frank Fontana Show.
Because I'm going to make this place your home.
On Chicago's very own 720 WGN.
Hey, folks, happy Sunday. It's me, yours truly, Frank Fontana. Thanks for hanging out with us. We're here till 3 o'clock today, like every Sunday, like clockwork. And thank you for all those wonderful people out there who are not watching the Bears game and listening to us. Or they are doing both, which is very possible with the WGN Radio app that you could download on iTunes. Or you can go to our website, WGNradio.com/listen, and pop it on your laptop or somewhere and just do your work around the house. Do some decorating and designing if you haven't got those holiday decorations up yet. We have pretty much finished ours in our household. We kept it minimal this year. That is basically another way of saying we're lazy this year. Minimalism. Gotta love that. It's like using the word eclectic in your design style. Pretty much you don't know what you're doing and you're throwing a whole bunch of stuff together. You want to make it make sense, you call it eclectic. That's my go-to. Well, we have a great show for you today, folks. We're continuing our Wonder Woman series by popular demand. This week, we are speaking with Marie Paro. And Marie, you might know the name because she is the president of the Apollo Chorus of Chicago. A fantastic lady that we're excited to talk to and has got a rich history here in Chicago. We're going to hear all about it. She'll be up first on deck. And then our celebrity astrologer... We call her the astrologer to the stars here on the show. Ann Nordhaus Bike is joining us. And that's right, it's the time of year where the holiday bliss happens as well as the holiday blues. And some of those things can be avoided, if you don't know this, by understanding your sign. Now, every time we have Ann on, and she's a regular on the show, we get tons of calls. So I urge you, if you want your free live reading on the air of what your sign is doing right now in the science of astrology. And some may laugh when I put those two words together, science and astrology, but the reality is it's actually one of the first sciences out there. And Anne will describe and enlighten you further on it. And it always seems to work out really well because people, you know, during this time of year have a lot of questions on why things are stuck. Why isn't my job moving forward? Why isn't my relationship evolving to the next level? Well, sometimes you can't force things to happen, and there's a lot of polarity in the world and energy and all that stuff. And again, you might think I'm crazy, but if you understand this, then you know timing is everything. So if you're trying to force something, it's not working, then chill. Listen to Anne. She might have some answers that can at least alleviate some of the pain. And then we're going to be speaking to a doctor. He's an author, Dr. Bradley Nelson. I think this is fascinating. And if you're a fan of the show, you know we always like to focus on healthy homeowners and how to live in that beautiful house that we help you decorate, but, you know, do it well. And the book is called The Emotional Code, or The Emotion Code. And this is the step-by-step instruction guide for working with the body's own healing power. So, for instance, this doctor, Dr. Nelson, his theory, and based on science, is that the emotional root to trauma, the emotional trauma is the root to pain and disease. So based on that, you would, you know, kind of broaden this and say, well, you know, somebody got cancer. Well, go back in the history of that person and see at what point did some type of emotional trauma happen. And this doctor is an expert in this field and can help break it down. So it's going to be really exciting. He's coming on around 1:47. And then, let's see, I got some design nuggets for you. If we can get to it, we're going to be talking about combating some of that clutter. But we do have a pretty jam-packed show with some amazing guests. And there's some interesting home news in the world of real estate that I want to touch on real briefly. I got a little news of my own here. No, I'm not expecting a child. That's not going to happen. We're officially done. My wife would second that. We're probably going to be opening up a really cool destination in downtown LaGrange. I'm going to say not more than probably. It's definitely going to happen. It's going to be called Frank Fontana's Vintage Home. And it's going to be like a one-stop shop for all things vintage and farmhouse and industrial when it comes to design. You know, think of the scaled down version of Restoration Hardware, but with way cooler and personalized artisan product in there. So you're going to come there, you're going to get just the perfect seven hues of vintage Victorian style paint. You're going to get that perfect little end farm table that you've been looking for, or that piece of artwork and accessory, or some custom furniture that we'll have there. So it's going to be really fun. The project's probably going to be filmed for something that we're doing that I cannot reveal yet, and it's killing me. I really want to tell you all about this amazing development in our life that's happening. So maybe by next week we can drop all these bombs and clear the air. We always love your input on the show. Give us a call anytime, 312-981-7200, as well as text in at that same number. Again, you want to have, if you're interested in getting your reading live on air, you want to have a good lead time because our phone lines jam up. So I'm going to give you the time frame around arrival here. We have the security out front. There's bodyguards and the red ropes. It's a big deal here. She'll be on around 2-ish. So hold your calls to about 1:45 if you want to start waiting. But it's worth it, I'm going to tell you that. Real quick, I want to just round up some real estate news that came across my email and my desk here. And I like, old mob stories. There's a lot of them here in Chicago, but there are a lot in New York, which is my hometown, and the surrounding areas. So the New Jersey mob legend, Albert Anastasia Jr. I don't know if you remember, for those who do. He was kind of like the real-life Tony Soprano. He used to terrorize his rivals for over three decades. Well, his New Jersey mansion goes on auction. Actually, it did this week. So Anastasia, a little background, was born in 1902 in Italy and moved to the United States when he was 17. He found work on the Brooklyn docks, and 2 years later, he was convicted of murder. Huh, how about that? And then he, I guess, made his bones. That's what they say in that world. Then 1928, Anastasia was charged again with another murder. So, he was going to college for what he did. Always looking for an opportunity for advancement, he teamed up with Lucky Luciano and Bugsy Siegel in assisting the rival crime boss at a Brooklyn restaurant assassinating them. And then from there, he became the boss of the New York, New Jersey area. Well, you could buy a piece of this mob history in New York right now. Apparently, it's a very nice Italian-style home, which means has a lot of porcelain statues, fountains, probably some gaudy wallpaper. And I'm allowed to say this because I'm 100% Italian, and I grew up in that house. Not that house, but a house similar to this. It has red roof tile, marble fireplaces, a theater, of course, a bar, elongated driveway, a la Godfather. And this can be all yours for a mere $5.5 million. Not so bad, huh? Well, and we have another fun story of the most expensive home that we'll save for a little bit later because we have to take a break and get our show started. For those questions coming in already about Ross and why he's not here, no, baby alert is still on. Ross did not have his child yet, or his wife didn't have the child yet. But we are waiting. The phone lines are already, filled with people asking. So trust me, I'll be the first one, if it happens on a Sunday, to let you know, folks. Right now, he's just kind of on high alert. Everyone in the Cochran household is on call, including Big Steve himself. Welcome back to the Frank Fontana Show. That's an interesting little musical intro there, Shantae. Say hi to Shantae, folks. She's filling in for Ross while Ross is on baby watch 2015. She doesn't talk, though. She told me don't talk to her because she will not talk to me back. And holding true to her word, she's not talking to me. Anyway, all right, so we're focusing in our Wonder Woman series. We're doing, we kicked it off a couple weeks ago. People loving it. They like to hear stories of women who empower other women who have achieved great things in our wonderful state here of Illinois. And this week's guest is Marie Paro. She's the president of the Apollo Chorus of Chicago. Marie, thanks for joining me.
Thank you very much for having me, and perfect pronunciation of my name. Not everyone gets that right the first try.
Which is, for this show, rare that I get anybody's name right.
Is it the Italian part? Because it could be. Fellow Italian.
So Paro would be the real, if we wanted to say it like a real Italian, Paro. Now, where in Italy are you guys from, like the origin of your family?
Oh, so proud to talk about that. We are from the island of Ischia. which is right off the Amalfi Coast,
yeah,
right next to Capri.
Oh, wow.
So absolutely beautiful part of Italy.
I'm sure. Have you been back?
I have been back. And, you know, just as you might have experienced, they welcome you with open arms. Distant cousins, they will roll out the red carpet. Yes.
Got to love those Italians. We can sit here talking about Italians all show long.
They know how to appreciate life.
Of course.
So great.
And they got it right with the whole taking a break in the middle of the day.
They have it right.
I mean,
they'll live forever.
Right. If not, their legacies will, that's for sure. You drink enough wine and, I mean, eat some good desserts. And I know every time my family is gone, and I don't go with them as often as I would love to. But
and where and what part of Italy?
All my family's from Sicily. Okay. So my mother was born in Palermo, which is the capital of Sicily. And then my father was born in this little fishing town, equally as beautiful as Capri, called Castellammare del Golfo. And it's right on the Gulf Coast, and it's
such
just
amazing history in that part of Italy. It's just
it's
incredible.
It's crazy. Yeah. But, you know, it's unfortunate. Everyone who doesn't know, instantly when you say Sicilian, thinks of The Godfather, which is okay, you know. But, you know, there's so much more to our culture than the mob.
Right.
You know, it doesn't exist anymore. There is no such thing as the mob. All right, so Marie, let's get off topic. Let's switch focus here to
segue though Italian and
to the culture,
to music, and classical music especially. And you know, I've been the president of Chicago's Apollo Chorus of Chicago, a very long-standing organization. And
tell me about it, because I don't I know of it, but I don't know the deep roots of it. Tell me.
Well, it's truly amazing that there are just a few of these organizations, cultural organizations, that have sustained themselves over time. A lot of them do come and go. But in case our listeners don't know, the Apollo Chorus was actually founded right after the Great Chicago Fire. It was purposefully put together to help with that kind of neighborhood civic spirit. Choruses in every culture you can name, and certainly I've traveled in the world and lived in other countries, a neighborhood chorus or a community chorus is a constant, and you
right,
find
when you
it
say
everywhere.
Chorus,
but when
like all right, so we talking like a singing group?
Is a singing group, right? And so you know, it might be other organizations might call themselves choirs,
right.
Chorales,
glee clubs. Yeah.
And when we think of glee clubs, of course, that is, which I think is a wonderful tradition. There's a side of Apollo in some of our concerts that has a glee club feel, that might sing a couple of different songs or maybe more popular songs. And we do that at times at Apollo, because good music is good music.
Sure.
But we're also known, because we're a large organization, we have 120 very strong volunteer singers, but it's an auditioned chorus and very high quality, that we're able to do some of these large masterworks of chorus compositions. So this coming year we'll do Mendelssohn's Elijah, and we'll fill the Rockefeller Chapel down at University of Chicago. We'll fill that altar with a full orchestra and all of these choral members. We, of course, have been doing Handel's Messiah every single year since 1879. We have been performing that, and we do the full oratorio. It's coming up next weekend at Harris Theater, December 19th and December 20th.
Wait, can people still get tickets?
People can still get tickets, and I hope that they do. It's quite an experience to have a Baroque orchestra and all of those singers, incredible soloists this year, and the full piece. And I think it would be memorable for just about any concert goer, a great tradition. But with those characteristics of Apollo do come a lot of challenges, because you know, as a board member, you are responsible for sustaining that organization. With a history like that, you would hate for it to fall into the lake, right? You really want to keep it going. But to hire an orchestra and to rent those venues, we are constantly trying to figure out ways to keep ourselves afloat. Very common to, I'm sure, a lot of people who are
absolutely
working with nonprofits.
But so important to keep the culture and the music alive.
Right.
We're going to talk more about that. We're going to take a quick break, and then we'll have news after that. But we're talking to the president of the Apollo Chorus of Chicago, Marie Paro, who's going to be hanging out with us, and we're going to get a little bit more of your history and how. And you're going to sing something. I heard something about you. You're going to sing something for us.
I'm definitely not singing, but thank you for asking.
Oh man, I tried. I put her on the spot. She didn't bite. Boom, 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 boom. Welcome back to the show, folks. I'm Frank Fontana. We're continuing our Wonder Woman series. We are talking to Marie Paro, and we are going to be giving away some gifts in the next half hour, and Shantae is going to be playing clips from Christmas movies. Right, Shantae? And then if you guess them, we want you to call in 312-981-7200, and the first person to call in with the right answer to which movie the clip is from will get a gift prize for Lou Malinati's with over 42 Chicagoland locations, and you can visit loumalinati.com for more info. Or we still have some Lightkeeper Pros we want to give away to keep your lights running bright this holiday season. You can watch the video at lightkeeperpro.com.
He's a dad. He's a designer. He's the guy who can make your house a home. And maybe make your husband a little handier.
No, you're not.
This is the Frank Fontana Show.
Because I'm going to make this place your home.
On Chicago's very own 720 WGN.
Hey, folks, thanks for hanging out with us. That last newscast, by the way, was sponsored by Seattle Sutton's Healthy Eating. Let's say we're back with our Wonder Woman series, and we're with Maria Paro, the wonderful Italian from some place in Italy I never heard of. The president of the Apollo Chorus of Chicago. Maria, thanks so much for coming in this Sunday.
Thank you.
Hey, so we were talking a little bit off mic about how you got to where you're at,
mm-hmm.
you know, because this whole Wonder Woman series we're doing here is really about inspiring women to, you know, to take that next step. You know, if you're looking to get into a professional career and you've been hesitant and, you know, to me, great success is about following certain archetypes in history that you look up to, that you could relate to.
Mm-hmm.
And then that thus empowers you to move forward. So what motivated you to really get to where you're at?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I do think that, you know, following your passions, following what drives you is going to be a great gauge for the directions you need to take. And I think for me, what's been maybe what's a little more unique than other people that you've spoken to on this series is, you know, I came from or, you know, I continue in the role of a internal communications, employee communications, executive communications for organizations. And that is, you know, a hugely important skill set to bring to a nonprofit, to an arts organization. However, I think that there are many people out there when they're thinking about nonprofits, even in areas they feel very passionate about, they feel that to sort of come in and take a leadership role is something that you do once you've reached the top of your particular career. You're the president of a consulting firm, and so you're now going to look around and say, what board needs me?
Right.
Of course, at Apollo, it's quite different because our board historically is made up of our own members. And that's something that we're trying very hard to branch out. We think that's important for sustaining the organization. That part of my presidency, as it were, is we are striving to bring in outside people to be on our board and help advise us. But again, I think that it's important that wherever you are in your career, if you have certainly having the time to do it is important, but you really, especially if you feel passionate about it, as I happen to feel about community choruses and, you know, the non-professional volunteer singer who is doing it for the love of it.
The pure passion.
Right. And bringing music up to a standard of excellence that these people might not think they have the ability to reach. I think that Chicago is so, so fortunate with the professional arts organizations we have here, world class.
Sure. And they're getting better every year.
They get better every year. It makes us so proud. And, of course, we aspire to it. We learn from them. But there are people who are wonderful singers. Perhaps they didn't choose it as a career, but you know, hey, why shouldn't they have the opportunity to sing on the stage at Harris Theater?
Absolutely.
In a glorious piece of music that unites us all. So I think that's something that to me, at some point I say, I have a skill set, I have the interest, I have the motivation, I will accept this role, and, you know, it's
a challenging role, though, let's face it. I mean, you could be a president in a lot of different companies and a lot of different businesses, but when you choose to be a president of a high-profile nonprofit, you're stepping into some shoes that are pretty hard to fill because, I mean, let's face it, it's nonprofit. What that means is you got to raise profit, and and you got to find ways and creatively to generate income for this, for this, you know, what most people think of as, you know, entertainment, so to speak, but you know what the deeper fabric of it all is, is culture. Is without culture in our community, there really isn't a vibrant, exciting, you know, a place to visit here in Chicago. I think that's, you know, where money should never be cut from organizations like you or you know, it's in public and schools and music.
It's, yes, it's becoming more and more of a challenge. They've done great research. I would love, I wish I had references with me, but organizations like Chorus America have done some wonderful research around what singing in a community chorus brings to people's personal lives, brings to their mental state, the type of good citizen that is probably involved in a chorus, and how they often are the ones sort of involved in other philanthropies. But it is hard. I you know, working at PricewaterhouseCoopers, they have sort of charitable days where they'll invite people who work for the company who are on nonprofit boards to sort of set up a booth in a, you know, in one room and try to get employees interested in helping out with that organization. And I was so happy to bring Apollo Chorus to this special charitable day. As you can imagine, we were surrounded by people who were working on healthcare issues and abuse and education. There's no denying that these are crucial.
Yeah.
And there was this arts organization. But as you said, I'm really happy to wave that flag for its importance.
Well, you're a great asset to the Apollo Chorus, and we commend you for all the work you're doing. And you know, if there's anybody out there that wants to be a part of it and help, how could they do that?
Oh, I'd love them. First, they can always visit apollochorus.org and find out about the organization. You can reach me at any time at president@apollochorus.org and ask any questions about what the chorus is about, how they might want to get involved, even if it's, you know, they're interested in board participation or they're interested in an audition, and I can give them information on that, because we want people to get involved. That's what we're about.
That's cool. That's really cool. And now this is new, so you're the first one to be a part of this, the closing of the Wonder Woman segment. So we're adding a new element to this.
Uh-huh.
And it's in line of the James Lipton questions that you hear in the actor's studio, behind the actor's studio, which
love
I love.
That show.
Love that show, and I love James Lipton. So here we go. Here is your one-word answers to the next 10 questions, okay?
Mm.
This is going to be rapid fire.
Okay.
What is your favorite word?
Compassion.
What is your least favorite word?
So, contention.
Contention. What turns you on creatively, spiritually, or emotionally?
I'm turned on by artists collaborating to create something that is better than they thought they'd ever, a quality they never thought they'd reach, something very unique.
Interesting. What sounds or noise do you love?
Oh, my favorite sound might be the sound of a, you know, a child completely cracking up.
Me too.
I love it.
I hear it all day long. Then the adult starts to crack up afterwards. What sound or noise do you hate?
I probably could name a few, but one, for example, is the sound of the vacuum makes me crazy. Unless I'm vacuuming, then I'm not thinking, but if anyone else is vacuuming, which is usually the case, I do not like that sound.
All right. What is your favorite curse word?
Give us the
gist of it.
It probably is just friggin'.
Friggin', I love it. It's friggin' cool. What profession other than your own would you like to attempt? If any other profession out there, could be the craziest thing.
Truly what in my heart of hearts I'd love to be is a tour guide.
Interesting. We can help you get a job here in Chicago.
It.
You know, those little red buses that drive by right now?
I love it.
Get you a job there. All right. What profession would you not like to do?
Do you know, I've always felt this way, and this time, at a time like this, I can't, I feel it just as strongly as I think it must be the hardest job in the world to be a police officer.
Yeah, agreed.
It's scary, and it's tough to get it right, and I greatly admire people, but I could not do that job.
I agree with you. All right, and finally, if heaven exists, what would you like to hear God say when you arrive at the pearly gates?
Well, of course, I hope that I get there, and I just hope he was sort of watching me and says, you hung in there. That's
good,
all.
Good job. Marie Power, thank you so much for joining us. We really appreciate it.
Thank you so much.
And folks, go support the Apollo Chorus of Chicago, a great organization. And thank you so much for your time.
Okay, thank you.
All right, folks, we're going to take a quick break. And when we come back, we're going to be talking to Dr. Bradley Nelson about how the emotion code affects you. And it's a step-by-step instruction for working with the body's own healing powers. This is going to be fascinating, so stick around. Welcome back to the show, folks. You're hanging out with me, Frank Fontana, till 3 o'clock. This next segment is sponsored by MegaPros.com. Go Mega or go home. We're shifting gears a little bit here from our Wonder Woman segment to talking to author and doctor Bradley Nelson. Now, his book is called The Emotion Code, and it offers a step-by-step instructional guide for working with the body's own intuitive healing powers. And this is fascinating to me because I believe in this, and I want to share some of this this great knowledge. And we have the good doctor on the phone. Hey, Doc, how are you?
Fantastic, Frank. Thanks for having me on.
Oh, it's my pleasure. Doc, so tell me about the book. You know, I believe in this 100%, you know, and I do believe things like, you know, heartbreak is a common term, but it is really a condition that can go on for a long time in a person's life if it's not addressed on a deeper level, right?
Yeah, absolutely. In fact, the medical profession now, as of a couple of years ago, has come out and said, yes, people die of a broken heart all the time, and in the emotion code, we teach you exactly what that means and how to prevent that, really.
Yeah, and you definitely hear these stories in the news about, you know, an elderly person passes away and like hours later or a day later, the husband or the wife then dies. Is that what a good example of a broken heart right there?
Well, you know, I'll tell you a story. There was a patient that came to see me many years ago, thought she was having a heart attack. She had crushing chest pain, difficulty breathing. Her left arm was totally numb. Left side of her face was numb. And I told my staff, we might need an ambulance, but I did some checking on her. And what I found was that she had a trapped emotion, or what you might call emotional baggage. And we teach all of this and how to get rid of this stuff in the Emotion Code book. But I traced this back, and it had occurred 3 years earlier. And when I discovered that, she burst into tears and she said, I can't believe that's affecting me. I thought I dealt with all that. And I said, well, what happened to you? She said that 3 years before, her husband had an affair and it destroyed her marriage and destroyed her life for a while. But she went to therapy, put her life back together. And in fact, she'd recently gotten remarried. And as far as she was concerned, that ex-husband was ancient history. But as far as her body was concerned, that intense emotion of grief from that event, from his affair, was actually creating all these symptoms of a heart attack. So I released that emotion, which only takes seconds. We teach that in the book. And the feeling came back into her arm, whoosh, about that fast. And the chest pain, the difficulty breathing was all gone. She left the office about 10 minutes later and felt completely fine. Now, I think that woman, that was probably 25 years ago. I think that that woman, who now is still alive and doing fine and lives in Oregon, I think it's very likely that she might not have made it this far if we had not released that energy. And I remember after she left, sitting down at my desk, and my mind was just reeling, thinking, how in the world is it possible that an emotion could create symptoms like that? In this case, symptoms of a heart attack. And what I found is that our emotional baggage causes the vast majority of symptoms that we suffer from. If you're in pain right now, there's about a 90% probability that that pain is actually being caused by some emotional baggage. And that's what people are finding out all over the world through this simple method, the emotion code.
Well, it's fascinating.
The emotional baggage, they get better. Mm-hmm.
And you hear this a lot in massage therapy, that somebody will be on a massage table and they hit a certain area and all of a sudden the client will start bawling and crying and like, you know, convulsing or whatever it is, because, you know, it's similar to sports injury. The trauma that happens physically, you can correct me if I'm wrong here, it gets lodged in the muscle memory. And then years later, it could potentially come out once that's released. Is this the basis of what you're talking about?
Well, yes, exactly. Now, if you think about it, the kind of experience that you're describing has occurred for a lot of people who have had massage, and a lot of people who do body work have found this kind of thing. They've observed this happen. But it isn't something that you can actually plan on happening. It's just something that happens kind of serendipitously. If you're lucky, maybe once in a while, you might have an emotional release. The emotion code is different because we've learned now how to actually surgically zero in and find the emotional baggage that we have and get rid of it. And to really understand how it works, you have to understand what our bodies really are ultimately. Going back to Einstein and the other quantum physicists have been telling us for over 100 years now, the human body is really nothing but this very complex energy field.
Sure.
And so if you get right down to it, on a quantum level, what's really going on here? Well, when you're feeling an intense emotion of anger or resentment or depression or whatever, what's really going on at a quantum level is you're feeling a certain vibration of energy. And every emotion has its own specific frequency. So anger is different than sadness and grief. They're all different.
Right.
But what happens is when you're feeling that intense emotion, that vibration, the energy of that emotion can...
We're having a little trouble. You're breaking up just a little bit, Doc, but the gist of basically the energy, that the vibrational energy giving off, it interacts with the other people in your life. Is that kind of what we just broke up a little bit there?
Oh, sorry about that.
No problem.
I'm kind of out in the toolies here for a while. Well, what happens is the energy of that emotion becomes trapped in the body, and it's literally a ball of energy from about the size of a baseball to about the size of a cantaloupe. And we call these trapped emotions. Now, it's taken me a long time to figure these out, Frank, because these things are invisible. They're like, I can't see them.
Right.
But they're there. And so when we release these trapped emotions, it has an immediate effect on typically on how people feel, not only for pain, but also it affects how people feel emotionally and mentally.
Well, I would imagine, because I'm a huge believer in quantum science, the things you can't see in terms of energy vibration and how it affects not only the person who's suffering from these trapped, vibrations and energy, but also how it affects the other people in the household and in your life. And even breaking it down, and I'd love for you to talk about this. I mean, I want to, if you could hang around after the news too, is in children, with young children, and if you have a child who is so in tune and is an old soul and can feel vibrations and energy from their parents, how do you deal with that? And how do you kind of, because that's a really important, you do not want to transfer that onto the child. Is it possible that you could do that?
Well, yes, it absolutely is. And we refer to these as inherited trapped emotions. What happens to us is that at the moment of conception, we receive emotional energy from mom or dad that they might have received at their conception from their mom or dad. And sometimes these will go back many generations.
Wow.
And what we find is that, oh, man, let me tell you, I had a profound experience myself where I had an emotion released. And it was a trapped emotion of hopelessness that went back. I got it from my father, he got it from his mother, and it went back 22 generations, back to a grandmother of mine that lived, we think, in the 1500s. And
wow.
it just sounds crazy, but I'm telling you, when this hopelessness was released from me, it changed my life. Because all my life I had had this background music of hopelessness that had been playing. I didn't even recognize it, really. I knew I struggled with that. But until that was released, suddenly it was like the silence was deafening when that was gone for the first time in my life at that point. So this is definitely something that we see. And in fact, science is now showing that rats that have some kind of bad experience in a maze at a certain point will pass that memory on somehow to their offspring. So that when an offspring rat, grandson rat, gets into the same maze, gets to the same point where grandpa got shocked, boom, the rat stops dead. And they're trying to figure out how that works. Well, we know how it works. It's in the emotion code.
Truly fascinating stuff, Doc. We're talking to Dr. Bradley Nelson, the author of The Emotion Code. We're going to have a continuing of this conversation right after this break and a quick little news update. Doc, can you hang out with us?
Absolutely.
All right, cool. We'll be right back, folks. We'll have more with Dr. Nelson after this.
He's a dad. He's a designer. He's the guy who can make your house a home. And maybe make your husband a little handier.
No, you're not.
This is the Frank Fontana Show.
Because I'm going to make this place your home.
On Chicago's very own 720 WGN.
Hey, everybody. It's me, Frank Fontana. Thanks for hanging out. We're here till 3 o'clock. We're continuing our conversation with acclaimed author and Dr. Bradley Nelson. His book is The Emotion Code. And here's the interesting thing. Doc, you there? Doc, you got him back on there? I think we got him here.
There we go.
All right, there he is. No problem, Doc. So your book, you know, touches on so many deep and profound sciences. You mentioned quantum science, and a lot of people aren't familiar with quantum science. I'd love a short, brief description because we're a little tight on time here, unfortunately. But I just, in a whole, the idea that you write about and the science that you write about and the idea that emotional trauma is the root cause of pain and disease in a vast majority of people in this world, why isn't it more common that people are taught this and understand about quantum energy and vibration and the exchange of energy between human beings? Because all we see in this world is the superficial. We see the verbal communication. We see people walking past each other with, you know, frowns on their faces mostly. You know, wouldn't this be the prescription for peace and love in the entire world?
Well, you know, it's a pretty good prescription for individuals to get rid of the emotional baggage that's disrupting their lives. And like I said, it's in 25 years we have found that emotional baggage is a contributing factor in every disease process, in every diagnosable condition that we've seen. Think about that. That means that depression and anxiety and phobias and panic attacks and PTSD and eating disorders are all conditions that can be helped through getting rid of emotional baggage. Every kind of pain, low back pain, neck pain, infertility, digestive disorders, asthma, on and on. Every condition that we've seen has had emotional baggage as a major contributing component. Sometimes it's the only component, especially in cases that are more emotionally based. So the beautiful thing about getting rid of these trapped emotions is at a certain point, after you start learning, after you learn how to do this and you get rid of enough emotional baggage, it's like stepping out of this old suit that you've been wearing all your life, and you step out into this new state of beingness that is really much closer to who God intends you to be. That's how I look at it.
Sure. And I think, you know, a lot of people, that's their story. They're holding on to this because that's who they've made themselves in terms of character and person, you know, and that's where I think you get a lot of resistance, because it's simple. Like, yeah, why wouldn't anybody go out and buy your book and read it and change their life? Well, that means they'd have to change their current identity. And for a lot of people, those identities, in my opinion, is one that doesn't benefit them well.
Well, you know, that reminds me of a story. Years ago, there was a man who came in to see me who had he had terrible back pain. On a 0 to 10 scale, his back was a 9. So it was really severe. I found a trapped emotion in his low back, ball of energy. The emotion was anger. I released the emotion, and immediately his back pain went to a 0. And he was just kind of amazed and flabbergasted, and it was kind of miraculous to him. But this is the kind of thing we see all the time. A couple days later, though, he came back in to see me, and he said, you know, Doc, he said, I've had a problem I didn't tell you about. He said, I have had this anger issue. I've been to anger management a number of times, and I'm always yelling at my wife and kids. This is just kind of who I am, and since you released that emotion of anger from me, I just feel relaxed now. I'm not angry anymore. How did you do that? And at the time, I didn't understand it myself, and I said, well, I really don't know. But what we believe now is that these trapped emotions affect us in two ways. They distort the normal energy field of the body, and that's really all your body is anyway. It's just an energy field. I mean, ultimately, we're going to have to admit that. We're now in the 21st century. It's time for us to start taking care of our bodies for what they really are. And it may sound woo-woo, but actually it's all very simple and
scientific. I mean, let's face it. Quantum science is a legit world right now. And, you know, it goes back to atoms, particles, and molecules and, you know, things we can't see. But trust what Dr. Nelson is saying is absolutely 100% valid and real. And yours truly, I do a ton of work on myself with this, and I try every day to remind myself about it, because it does work when you do apply what he's saying. So, folks, go out and get the book. It's called The Emotion Code. Where can people get the book, Doc?
Well, you know, you can get it on Amazon and Barnes & Noble, places like that. But if you'd like to take a look at it for free, you can download it at emotioncodegift.com and get it on audio as well, so there's
That's
no
great.
Barrier in the way. Yeah.
So Emotion Code, say that again, where people can get it for free?
Yeah, emotioncodegift, that's G-I-F-T.com.
Excellent. Dr. Bradley Nelson, thank you so much for your time. Continue the great work. I think you're doing fantastic stuff in this field. It's good stuff, man.
Thank you, Frank.
You got it. All right, folks, we are going to take a quick break. And now is the time where you want to pick up the phone. And if you want to get on the line with our celebrity astrologer, Ann Nordhaus Bike, she is working her way into the studio as we speak. It is a fantastic time to spend with her. If you have questions of things not moving in your life and you want to know why, how, when, where, what are the stars saying, why isn't my career moving, why isn't my relationship moving in the right direction, get on the horn now, 312-981-7200. You might have to hold for a few minutes, but it's worth it, I promise you. And here's how it works. Know your sign, get to the issue quick, and we can help you longer, all right? So it's, hey, I'm an Aries, and listen, I'm having troubles at work, and what's going on in the stars? That's kind of the things you want to be prepared to talk about, all right, folks? That's right, folks. It's time to shake it off a little bit. It's a good little intro song to our next guest here. If you've been having stuff happening in your life and you need to shake it off, well, our celebrity astrologer to the stars, Ann Nordhaus Bike, is here again. Ann, thank you so much for coming back.
Thank you for having me. Great to see you, Frank.
Great to see you. And
thank
you're
you.
In a wonderful shade of blue today.
I am.
Is there
a
reason for that?
Well, sometimes people do holiday decor with a little bit of teal or that kind of crystal blue sort of thing.
Yeah.
But mostly I have the planet Uranus really prominent in my chart, and it's like being quirky.
I love it.
Thank you so much.
It's quirky and stylish at the same time.
Yeah. For our listeners, my hair has now teal color in it.
It was pink last month.
And
it's now
purple
teal
another time.
Purple.
Yeah.
Yeah. And she looks great. She's slim. She's awesome. So I'm assuming things are going well for you.
They are. They're great. Yeah.
And so tell people who have never heard the show before, which mm-hmm. you've been on my show for almost 2 years now,
yeah.
What you do and how you got here.
Well, I got here because I'm an astrologer and an artist, and we talk about not just the outer decor or design, but we talk about the inner self and the decor of the inner person and
That's
how
right.
to make that great, you know,
right.
and how astrology can help with that. It really touches on what you talked about before with your prior guest about the invisible energies. And so what we talk about when I'm here is what are the planets doing and how can that help you make your life great, not just the what I call flinch astrology where people are like, oh my goodness, what's happening?
Yeah.
Is something bad? Okay, maybe something challenging is coming, but flip it around. What can you make of that?
That's right. And we always take your calls. We already have the phone lines are pretty much locked up, but you can definitely try to get on 312-981-7200, because what Ann does is we both sit here and listen to your stories and take your sign, and we love to try to help you out if we can. And believe it or not, you know, a lot of people have a lot of things to say about astrology, but the truth is, Ann, that this goes back beyond medical science.
Yeah.
Tell us about that quick.
Thousands and thousands of years ago. It's one of the oldest sciences out there. It's also an art because, of course, like any profession, some people may have a little bit more affinity for it. But the fact is, energies in nature affect all of us. And we already know this. The tides, you know, the moon affects the tides and stuff. So if you extrapolate that to all the other planets, they're invisible to us because we don't have telescopes on our brains yet, you know, the quantum human. But they're affecting us. Their energies, even though they seem really remote, the farther away the planet is, the longer it sits in some place in the sky and the more it affects us, the more powerful over time. So what astrology does is just to quantify that and say, okay, over thousands of years, what tended to happen to people?
And it's based on documentation
absolutely
throughout millions of years,
ancient China, as well as Egypt, yeah,
right.
Greece, and as well as the modern era, yeah.
And you do a lot for the community as well as you give back. You have free programs on your website. What's your website again?
It's www.annnordhausbike.com. And someone asked me to spell it. So it's Ann with an E, A-N-N-E. And Nordhaus Bike is NordhausBike.com.
Very short and simple.
Oh, I mean, yeah. Really, try to make it easy.
Yeah, keep it simple.
Someday I'll do Ann.com. But
and you have a complimentary download on there as well, right?
At this point, no. But yes, what we have is you can get your chart for free.
Cool.
And if anybody ever has a technical issue, by the way, because this is all done with computers, you know, and technology, there's something in the FAQ to help you if you can't get it to come up.
Fantastic. Yep. All right. So what we're going to do is get started on our calls. Again, how it works is we're going to get you on the line, say hi. You're going to give us your sign and then tell us what's going on in your world. And Anne will tell you what's going on in the stars that affect you. All right. So let's get right to it. Let's get with Steve. Hey, Steve, thanks for calling the show.
Well, hello, Anne. Hello, Frank. Nice to hear from you.
Hi, yeah. Steve.
I am a Libra, and I'm looking for some financial. I work from day to day, and I work from paycheck to paycheck.
All right.
And that's where I'm at.
Steve, let's start with what industry are you in?
I am a public service worker, so to speak. I work for a highway department, so to speak.
In a town that starts with a C and ends with an O. Steve. All right, Steve. So tell us a little bit, just quickly, about kind of the people in your life. Like, you know, are you married? Do you have kids?
I am married. I've been married for almost 30 years. And I have two children, 26 and 24. I have two grandchildren. And my wife is having a problem. She is kind of ill.
Sorry to hear that.
Nothing like cancer. That's okay. Nothing like cancer or anything like that, which is good.
Yeah.
But and she's working very rarely, and we have lost our house before, and we are renting, and we are doing a great job on that. I got a great landlord. And we're sitting here, and I am working day by day, paycheck for paycheck.
Okay, well, let's look beyond what's in front of you, and let's see what the stars have to say. Anne?
And so it sounds like the key thing, Steve, if I can just encapsulate this, you're just wondering, when will financial things get a little easier or better?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes, I am.
Okay. And what is your wife's sign?
She is an...
Just give us the date. We'll tell you the sign. What day is her birthday?
Or if you don't remember, don't say it on air, because you might get in trouble if she's listening.
5'10". She is a Taurus.
Oh, okay. Well, that's very lovely, by the way, because you both have signs that are ruled by Venus. You're a Libra, and we've had a lot of Libras call in, and Libras have had it so tough for so many years, and you know this, Steve, because you've been living it. The planet Jupiter, which is the big giver of gifts and good fortune and luck and expansion, has been moving around. It spends 13 months in every sign, and right now it's almost up to Libra, but it's not there yet. It's right now sitting in Virgo. So this is actually a time for you to get ready for the expansion that you are going to get starting in September of 2016, right before your birthday. And what Jupiter will bring is a chance to expand. But what you need to do is focus on what you want to expand. Because sometimes people focus on the not good things or the self-indulgence.
Which is what
maybe
you end up attracting. Is when you focus on the things you don't want, you'll actually attract those things.
Right, exactly.
Oh, okay.
And so knowing that this is coming, symbolically what Jupiter's doing is sitting in your 12th house, and that's a very tough house. That's a house of self-undoing. This is a good year for you to do all the things that you can to think about, how do you sabotage yourself? What are some things maybe that might be going on in your family situation, or things that are like weird old patterns that you keep having? You can heal those. This is the best time that you have in 12 years to help fix and heal these kinds of things.
That's a good window right there, Steve.
And, okay, that sounds good.
I will say as well, Frank was asking earlier about what's going on with Aries, because, of course, he's an Aries.
Yeah,
the planet Uranus is in Aries, and it's sitting exactly opposite you, okay? So that's the sign opposite to you, Steve. And so that's the marriage house, that's partnership, that's people who come into your life, that's relationships. And so that planet has been retrograde since July, which is tough, because then it's like this energy imploding in on you. And so it'd be really good if you could do some do you do any kind of spiritual practice, meditation, prayer, that kind of thing?
No, not really. I don't really have time for that.
Now you need to actually get real about that and
make
do
some
it.
Time.
Yeah.
Right.
Because that's going to fuel your success, so that when you focus on what you want Jupiter to expand, it's coming from your heart center, from the best place of you. What is, and don't think small, think what's the biggest, coolest outcome you might want to have.
Right.
But Uranus has been retrograde. It's going to go forward on Christmas Day.
And Steve, even to simplify it further, if you don't know how to meditate, because it's not easy for a lot of people just to say, hey, I'm going to sit in a quiet room and clear my mind. Because that's really what we're talking about here, is having the ability to regain focus, reset you and your mind and your body to go at the task at hand, which for you right now is figuring out the financial situation. And, you know, how old are you, Steve, if you don't mind me asking?
I am 52.
52, all right. So, you know, we all know at 20-something, we have tons of energy. At 40-something, we have energy, but, you know, we're starting to flail a little bit in terms of the chutzpah it takes to, you know, really get out there and have that fire in your belly to earn and create and opportunities and stuff. So, you know, what meditating does, or just simply thinking about things in a different way, is gives you the ability to refire that furnace inside of you to say, okay, you know, because having vision is one thing, having the energy to follow through with that vision is a whole nother thing. You know, so I think those are the two things that we would suggest is, you know, use this opportunity with the stars lining up for you. And at the same time, clear your mind a little bit, even if that means taking some time for yourself and, you know, getting away from everybody.
Okay, that sounds very good.
Thanks, Steve, for the call. We appreciate it.
And wish you all the best.
And we're back with our celebrity astrologer, Ann Nordhaus Bike. Good to have you here.
Thanks, Frank. Great to be here.
And we're talking about how to clear up that holiday funk, and you got some good advice on that, right?
Yeah, as you know, because you have my book, Follow the Sun, A Simple Way to Use Astrology for Living in Harmony, there's a chapter for every sign, but in between Sagittarius and Capricorn, there's a chapter that's called Closing Out the Calendar Year. If the holidays are supposed to be so happy, why do I feel so terrible? And I hear from so many people this time of year. It's so challenging, no matter how hard we try.
Well,
so,
thus our phone lines are lit up.
Exactly.
We have about 7 callers on hold.
There's some interesting astrology that happens every year at this time between Sagittarius, which is super happy, optimistic, and Capricorn, which is super like, get busy, get to work, stop being so happy. And so we have a chapter that explains exactly what goes on and what to do about it. That chapter is available on my website. All you have to do is go to www.annnordhausbike.com. At the very top, click the word book. You'll see all the articles about my book. The very last one's called Closing Out the Calendar Year. Anybody who needs help, if you have friends or relatives who are struggling, send them this article. It's the entire text of that chapter. It will really help you understand what's in play and how to make the most of this time.
Awesome. Good stuff. All right, let's get back to our phone lines here, and we'll see here. They just got cleared, but hi, you're on with Frank and Ann.
Oh, hi.
Who are we talking to? Our screen got cleared for some reason, so we're going to just wing it. She's gone too. So let's go to our next caller. I don't know what's happening right now. Hey, you're on with Frank and Ann.
Hi, how are you?
Good. Who are we talking to?
Sue.
Hi, Sue. Sorry, we do have your name and all that stuff, but somehow the computer's acting wacky. I think it needs its sign red, I think.
Mercury's not even retrograde.
Yeah, exactly. So, Sue, what's going on with you? What sign are you?
I am Cancer.
Cancer, okay. And what's happening in your life right now?
Actually, you know, looking forward to the holidays. And, I've been dating somebody for 3.5 years. And just like to know if marriage is in the future.
3.5 years, you said?
Yep.
Okay. And what's his sign?
Capricorn.
Capricorn. Oh. Nice. So we got a Cancer and a Capricorn.
Yeah.
And Ann does her math over here. tell me about the relationship briefly. I mean, you guys are like spending every second together type of relationship, or how is the flow of the relationship?
Oh, it's wonderful. It is.
That's great. And you probably already know this, Sue, because you're a Cancer. You know that if he's a Capricorn, he's your opposite sign.
Mm-hmm.
And that can work out wonderfully. I'm married to my opposite. I'm a Libra married to an Aries, and opposites totally attract, as you I'm sure know after 3.5 years, but you complement each other because of the way the astrology energies work. When one sign is up, the other might be down, and one is down, the other's up. So you can always help each other. You're not taking the hit at the same time. But I will tell you something to keep an eye on, a couple of really interesting things. First of all, there's a full moon in your sign in Cancer, December 25th, Christmas Day. Pay attention.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah, that pops things. Perhaps the question will pop.
Whoa, hold on. You're using words like pop, and that means like pop the question, maybe. Sue, are you ready for this on Christmas? I mean, this could potentially happen. We're not saying it's going to. We're saying because of what the stars are saying, it's a real...
The energy's in play.
Oh, boy.
For things to come to a head.
Ooh, that would be awesome.
Are you getting the vibe, Sue? Are you kind of feeling like that might happen?
Oh, I don't know. He likes to, you know, I mean, he could, like, do, like, play secrets, and I just don't know. He could be telling me one thing, and
Do you mind me asking you guys ages, average, you know, he yourself?
I'm 49.
49, and how old is he?
45.
Has he been married before?
No.
Have you been married before?
Yes.
Okay. So Ann, with all that back, see, I'm like the investigator, and then Ann takes that information, puts it into the star calculator, and outputs the answers for you.
Well, there's a couple things. What day is his birthday, Sue?
January 19th.
Okay, that is also interesting. Okay, so there's a new moon in Capricorn. His new moon for the whole year of 2016 is January 9th. I'm just mentioning that to you so that you're aware of these dates. You might find these really interesting. So if it doesn't come at the holidays and you're expecting it, you know, pay attention to that new moon. But the other thing I would ask you is, have you had the conversation? Are you guys talking about this? I mean, you're grown-ups and you get to talk about this.
Yes, we've had it like in a roundabout way, but he's a very kind of like by the book. He wants to take care of things, take care of the house, and then kind of he's not so much a planner like I am, but
he's not a worrier, you know, like you are, I'm guessing. Cancer's often a worrier.
Oh yeah, I'm definitely the worrier.
Yeah, like he's a big W on your forehead. Yeah.
Yeah.
But you know what Capricorn wants? They want to build a foundation so you have a really good basis for this relationship to succeed. They're very ambitious and they are very patient and very long range.
Oh.
Are you dropping the hints here and there, or are you just kind of leaving it be?
No, I am. And a lot.
How does he respond, though, when you do those little hints? Because that's a good tell right there. Give me a reaction to one of your, when you say something in that line, what does he usually say to you?
He'll say, yeah, I know. He says, after, you know, the house is sold and blah, blah, blah. And so I think he wants it, but he's just following like his game of play kind of. So
Sue, here's, I'm going to give you some guy advice. Don't talk about it anymore. Like,
okay,
seriously, like don't talk about it anymore and let him come to you. Let him chase that subject, because if he feels you're pressing too hard and he's not ready and he loves you, and he could love you to the end of the world. If a guy feels that kind of pressure, sometimes they run for no reason at all. They just like don't know what to do with themselves. And I'm not saying he's going to do that, because that may not be the case. But I'm just trying to give you a little guy insight here that's not about the stars, but about a little bit of reality. But Sue, we do wish you the best. And I think you could take some of this information that Ann and I are saying and kind of piece it together. But it sounds like you're in love, and that's a fantastic thing. And, you know, if it doesn't go to the next level, I'm just saying that doesn't mean it has to be the end. And I don't know how you feel about that.
I'm with them for the long
good for
long,
you.
So.
Good for you.
They're very traditional Capricorns, so he may need to do this in the super traditional down on one knee thing, and he's got to get all the ducks in a row before he does it.
And Sue, in the event it happens on Christmas Day, please call us back. We want to know this.
I will, and thank you very much.
Oh, you're welcome. Thanks for calling. We appreciate you listening to the show.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
All right, we got to take a quick break, and I promise we're going to get to everybody on here. We have a couple calls holding. 312-981-7200 is the number. If you want to text in a quick question, too, we can also get to those at the end of the show. We're here with Ann Nordhaus-Bike, and we'll be right back. We're back, folks, and we're here with Ann Nordhaus-Bike, astrologer to the stars. We're taking all your calls, and we're going to get right to it because we have a ton of calls and lots of people holding for a long time. Let's go with Marie. Marie, what's your sign and what's going on in your life?
Hi, I'm a Leo, and thank you for taking my call. And I was wondering how my health and welfare is going to be, but really, a Leo, we want to know if we're going to be rich and famous.
Good for you, Marie.
Do you want to be rich and famous?
Not really.
You just want to be rich, right? You could pass on the fame part.
Yeah.
Correct.
Yeah.
All right. So what do you do, Marie?
I am a personnel coordinator for a grocery store chain in Chicago. Chicagoland. I'm in the suburbs.
Got it. Okay. Yeah. And is your aspiration to own a chain of?
No, not at all.
Okay, cool.
What's the biggest issue? Is health actually the bigger issue right now, Marie?
Yeah, just wondering how health issues are going for myself and my family.
So have you had something going on with you recently? If you're not comfortable sharing what it is, that's okay. But have you had some issues in that area?
Well, we have a disease in our family.
That's really rare. Yeah.
So.
Yeah. You know, your health houses are actually Cancer for the 12th house. And that's the house of like the inner healing we were talking about earlier with Steve.
Yeah.
And then the other house for this would be Capricorn. And Capricorn has had a tough time because you have Pluto in that sign, really digging up all of the stuff that's really underlying it. And so the fellow who was the guest right before me was really interesting talking about the emotions that underlie some of what's going on with your health.
Yeah.
That would be a good thing to explore, actually.
Dr. Bradley Nelson, actually, if you wasn't listening to the segment before, and Dr. Bradley Nelson has this book called The Emotion Code, and it's really awesome. I think this would totally apply to you, Marie. And he has a free download on the website too. So if you Google it, it would be awesome for you to look into that. But anything in terms of resistance where she could see hope in the next couple months?
Yeah, whenever Pluto's involved, it's about power. So where are you giving your power away? That's one thing. Are you giving it away to weird emotions or to other people or to like unfortunate or limiting beliefs about your health? That's one thing. But the other thing is Pluto can help you find the gold underneath all the muck. So if you need to do some inner digging and actually look at some dark emotions, this is actually a really good time for you to be doing it and to just barrel through these things. But you've got to surrender. It's a soul-based thing, right? Actually, Marie.
Okay.
Does that make any sense?
Yes. Yes, it does. It makes a lot of sense.
I mean,
and rich and famous.
Rich and
famous? You got a great personality, so I think maybe the world of stand-up comic would be good for you.
Thank you.
I think it's a good thing. I think, you know, listen, people with personality like yourselves, and you can tell you got good spirit and good energy.
And the career thing has taken a little bit of a battering, you know, because of the way the energies were astrologically. We had Saturn in a fixed sign, and it's moved on. So actually, you have some opportunities here. A little bit of the heat's off. I hope you're working a little less, maybe.
Yeah, I'm trying to. You know, I'm trying to do everything I need to do, but not put more on my plate.
Exactly. To take care of your health at the same time. Yeah.
Correct.
Yeah.
You know, I feel like a good little retreat for you would be nice, Marie. Like somewhere you could just kind of go meditate and like, you know, get your head clear and restore some of your energy. And then you'll have fuel to kind of move forward with you know, the financial part of it.
And the solstice would be a good time. The solstice this year is December 21st. It's coming about 10:49 p.m.
Yeah.
And actually, this is hard for you right now, Marie, because you are ruled by the sun. You're a Leo. And the days are getting so short. But they're going to start to get longer after the 21st. So actually, if you could sort of do something meditation-wise or spa-wise, like Frank's suggesting.
That's what I was going to say. It could be even as simple as a day at Kohler or something. Thing where it's, you know, a couple $100 to treat yourself or ask for it for Christmas.
Yeah.
You know, we got some good holidays coming.
Good idea.
Yeah.
Good.
Bring more sunshine into your life.
Good luck to you, Marie.
Lovely and bubbly.
You sound great, and we wish you the best.
Thank you very much. Thanks for taking my call, and have a good Christmas.
You too. I was going to say the same thing. All right. Let's move on to our next caller. We're going to crank through these. We got Jennifer who wants to learn about career and love. Hey, Jennifer. How are you?
Hi. I'm fine. Thanks.
What's your sign, Jen?
I'm a Virgo.
Virgo. We haven't talked to any Virgos today. So what's going on specifically in your life?
I've thrown a lot of my energy into looking for a new job, and I didn't have any luck over the summer, and I was contacted recently by one of the companies again, and now they're starting to interview me again, and
cool.
I'm just kind of feeling, I think I'm kind of feeling like at this point that it's just dragging on, and nothing really ever is going to change.
Anne's got the prescription for you. Go ahead and lay it on
her. So sorry to hear that, Jennifer, but you're a Virgo, and do you know your planet is Mercury?
I do not know that.
Okay, so the planet that rules Virgo is Mercury. And so it'd be really good for you to pay attention to the Mercury retrograde dates because they're all in Earth signs, and you are an Earth sign. The next one coming up is January 5th through 25th. And so that's another time of potential slowdown. We may already start to feel it next week. But what I will say, too, about career, love, all of what's going on with your energies, you're one of the so-called mutable signs. They come at the end of the season. So that's Virgo, Pisces, Gemini, and Sagittarius. You guys are under the gun a bit because a bunch of planets are lined up in three of those four signs, and they're kind of fighting with each other. Those are tough angles. So if you felt this thing of like rock in a hard place where you can't get a resolution, that fits with the energy. But the good news with this is, though, you have Jupiter in your sign. It's in Virgo. It's there for 13 months. It's going to be there until September of 2016. This is your year to reap the goodies and get inner wisdom. So the advice that we gave to Steve to get ready for next year, we're giving to you for right now. You still have time left of Jupiter expanding. What do you want to expand? Be so careful of your thoughts because you're ruled by Mercury. It's all about thinking.
Right. And think yourself into this job situation if you really want it. You know, like you got to see yourself in that position. See yourself walking through those doors. See yourself sitting at that desk or whatever it is you're wanting. You got to be able to see that because sometimes that stagnant feeling is your lack of vision, lack of clarity in what the end result will be.
Yeah, what do you really want?
So what do you really want? Is this the career end place you want to be working, or is there a certain level of resistance inside of you? You got to pay attention to that.
And is there something bigger, something even better that you're not letting yourself dream of?
Okay. I really read the Law of Attraction over the summer and tried to really focus on it and be open to what was coming my way, but I just kind of have felt stuck lately. So that's interesting.
And I'm so glad that you are a Law of Attraction believer. As if you're following my show, you know I'm a huge advocate and I've used it in every day of my life to attract the blessings that I have in my life. But Jen, it's one of those things that you need to revisit constantly. That's what I've learned, is that reality steps in and tries to suck you into the dark side. You got to fight it off at every turn to stay positive and really believe in that Law of Attraction, because it does work. And you know when you're in tune, because you could think of something so simple as a cup of coffee, and all of a sudden somebody walks up to you with a cup of coffee out of nowhere.
Or hands
you a gift card or something like that. And people chalk that up as luck. Or coincidence.
Yeah.
That's not, folks. It's not. It's really not. It's you. When you're in tune and clear and you know what you want, it comes to you. So that's what I would say is get refocused, Jennifer.
Yeah, and make sure you focus on the great sides of Virgo. You can find out more about your sign on my website. So go take a look. There's tons of resources there for you.
Thank you so much. I appreciate it.
You got it. All right, we do have to take a quick break. We are just cranking through the time and we have so many people holding, so we appreciate all the calls. And before we break, if we can't get to the people on hold, where can people contact you directly, specifically the people on hold right now?
Yeah, go to my website, www.annnordhausbike.com. Tons of resources there. But more than that,
can they email you directly and ask questions?
Yeah, they can. If they want, I can direct them to resources that can help them.
Sure.
Yeah, and there's lots of my site is huge. There's hundreds of articles and other things. And I'd recommend my book and get your chart, anything that you can find on there that can help propel you forward.
All right, that does it for us, folks. Ann, thank you so much for being here. Once again, how could people find out about you?
Go to my website, and it has all the links for my social media. So it's www.annnordhausbike.com, and it'll probably be listed in the podcast.
Excellent. And we do have a lot of people asking about the book and the guest we had on before, Dr. Bradley Nelson. The book is called The Emotion Code, Step-by-Step Instructions for Working the Body's Own Healing Power. That's Dr. Bradley Nelson. So there you go, folks. You can always find me at frankfontana.net. Find me on social media at Instagram, Twitter, Facebook, you name it. I'm all over it. Just Google me. I'm there. And for the folks holding, thank you so much for being a part of the show. The guys are coming up next, Hamp and OB with Glenn Kozlowski and Mark Carmen. They are, I don't even know what the Bears are doing. I haven't been paying attention. Veronica, you know what the score is?
Losing. There, yeah.
Yay.
24-21.
Gosh, man. You just never get your hopes up with these Chicago teams.